Is daf yud gimel. So we got a few lines down, five lines down. Amar Ravanai, Amar Shmuel. So the Gemara says, "Bechalabim uvenevela ad sheyisha mitchila ad sof bechteachias pras." When a person, when it comes to eating the iser chayil, when it comes to eating the iser nevela, so then the shear of kazayis that needs to be eaten has to be eaten in kedeachias pras. And when it comes to ochlin tamei, when it comes to eating things that are metame a person, which would then disqualify him from eating a chuma, which would just be a shear of chatzi pras of tuma, or shkatzim v'ramasim umashkin and other things that would disqualify him from eating chuma, afilo kolayom kula b'chdechis pras. So now this last phrase is it's a contradiction. It says even if you eat it over the course of an entire day and k'deachis pras. Well, which one is it? Is it kolayom or k'deachis pras? So the Gemara, of course, picks up on this, and the Gemara asks my Kamar, what is it saying? And Amar Papa understands it as Hachi Kamar. Afilo koyam kula, if you're eating these shkatzim and ramasim and the food and drink that are tame all day long, v'hu it only if she'achal kezayis b'chdeachis pras. Meaning in the chati pras, which is the shear that of eating tuma that makes a person possible for tuma, in that chati pras there are multiple kezayim within it. I don't know how many, what the shear is exactly, but a number of kezayim make up a chatzi pras. So as long as each kezayis independently is eaten with kedeachlias pras, then over a course of a day, you can add up each kezayis to the aggregate of a chatzi pras. That's what the Gemara says. But each kezayis independently can be eaten a kezayis, but the overall chatzi pras can be eaten throughout kol yom kula. So Gemara says, Masiv asks a question. It says the Mishnah Mikvaos, kol ha'ochlin, mitzar from lifsol hagvia, all foods that are tame can disqualify a person from eating a truma, even though he eats a little bit of this and a little bit of that. It could all mitzarif to the shear of a chatzi pras to disqualify him from eating truma. Bechatzi pras. So my love, what does this mean? That you're mitzarif the food? Da'achli chatzi pras b'chdeachlis pras. Does this not mean that the eating of a chatzi pras must be eaten within a shear of kedeachlis pras and not what Rapapa said over the entire day kul yom? Where says lo? What it means here in the Mishnah is, in Mikvah, it says, Dechol, kezayis, each kezayis, b'chdeachias pras, each kezayis independently must be eaten in the time of kedeachias pras, but overall, all the kezayisim can be eaten over the course of the entire day to amount to a chati pras. So then the Gemara asks further, Mesive, it says, Kol ha'ochlin mitzar from lifsol ha'gavia, b'chati pras, all the different kezayisim of food may add up to disqualify a gvia person from eating a chuma when it amounts to a chatzi pras, b'chdeachias pras. What does that mean? So you have to, it sounds like pashup shot here is, you have to eat a chatzi pras in the time of a kedeachias pras. Not each kezayis kedeachias pras, but the overall chatzi pras must be eaten in a sizman of kedeachias pras. The Brisa goes on to explain there are going to be a number of tangential points here which we could ignore for a moment. The Gemara is going to analyze it in the continuation of the Gemara, but we'll just run through it to get to the bottom line here. So the Gemara says now, Ketet, how does this work? Achal, v'chaz v'achal, the guy eats a little bit, he pauses, eats a little bit more. Im yesh mitchilach achila rishona v'ad tof achila acharona chedeachlias pras. If the time from the beginning of his eating to the final eating is over the time period of a chedeachlias pras, then you're mitzarf and then you can combine them. But if it's yosem kind of, it's spanned more time than that, a mitzarf and then you're not mitzarf this year. And then loitiru lecho locha pachas mikashir leirid velitbol. A person who ate chatzi shir of something tamei, he's not allowed to go to the mikvah and try to negate what he did, and then eat a chatzi shir afterwards, and trying to separate between the two chatzi shirs. We don't allow him to go to the mikvah. That we'll explain. Yard v'tabel, if he goes to the mikvah v'allah v'shlima, he gets up from the mikvah and eats another half a shear, you are mashlim. We do combine it with the tevila, the chati shear from beforehand. The tevila does not break up a half a shear. It's mitzarif. And then another separate point, hetiru lo leubra, we allow a pregnant lady, lechol pachos mikashir, she's allowed to eat less than a shear of food that's tamei, and she will not be disqualified from eating truma if it's a mipnei sakana, because we know pregnant ladies sometimes need food, so we don't hold back of a chati shear of tamei for her. And kol amashkim, so too when it comes to all liquids that are tamei, mitzdarfin lefsal segvia berevis, you could do a chati shir of mashke here, a chati shir of mashke here, and you mitzdarf it to, if it's tamei, to make the person possible from eating chuma. Dechteachis pras, so long as the shir revis is eaten or drunk over the period of a kteachis pras. Kated, how does that work? Chaz shasa v'chaz b'shasa. He drinks, he pauses, he drinks. Im yesh mitchilas shtia v'ashrishona v'atzof shtia achrona. If from the beginning of his drinking to the end of his drinking, it's only an amount of kedei achilas pras, so then mitzdarfen, you could combine all the drinks. But if it's yosemikan, if it's longer than kedei achilas pras, then aim mitzdarfen. And then finally, the Brisa says again another seemingly random point. Hitira lemaga tamei meis. We allow a woman who's nursing, who's tatacha tamei meis, even though she's maga tamei meis, lehenik bana, she's allowed to nurse her child, ubna tar, and her child will not become tamei, even though she is tamei. Okay, so we're going to try to ignore just for a moment those few random pieces. What comes out from this brisa is katana mihas. What we could draw out from this mishnah, the brisa is im yesh mitchilas achila rishona vatzof achila, from the beginning of the eating to the end of the eating. If it's only b'chdei achilas pras, then mitzdarif. And it's not that we allow the entire day to mitzdarif all of the independent kadesim, and therefore this is a tiyufta de Ravanai, tiyufta. This is a tiyufta to Rav Papa's interpretation of Ravanai as we began the Amud here. Okay. Well, we can discuss it right now. So now the Gemara is going to discuss all these random points mentioned along the lines of the Brisa. So Amar Mar, lo hitiru lo la'ochel pachas mikashir leirud v'litvo. Might come. What does that mean? We said we don't allow a person who ate half a shear of that which is tummy. So he's not tummy because he only ate half a shear. Now he wants to go to the mikvah. We don't let him go to the mikvah. So what does that mean? Might come. Why can't he go to the mikvah? So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Hachi Kamar. Achal pachas mikashir, a guy, he eats less than a shear, less than a chatzi pras of tummy foods. So right now, he's not tummy. He's not possible for eating chuma. Then the din is lo hitiru lo leir litbo. We don't let him go to the mikvah. Why? Shim yarva tava, because if he goes to the mikvah and then he comes up the Allah and vishlimo, he eats another half a shear. So now the din is mitzarif. We are able to be mashlim the half a shear prior to the tevila with the half a shear after the tefillah, and what's going to happen? He's not going to think it's true. He won't think you could combine the two, because Aslam Emer is going to say, no, a honey like tefillah kamaita. Didn't my first tefillah negate my first half a shear? I'm not tamei. V'eina yodei. He's not going to be aware. Shein tefillah ela b'achrona. Tefillah only works after you've completed the shear. So really, he's allowed to do the mikvah. But he has to know that the mikvah doesn't work. It's ineffective on a half a shear. So since he's not going to know the halacha, we made a gzera. The person ate half a shear, he should not go to the mikvah at all until he eats a full shear, and then he should go to the mikvah. Because if he does go to the mikvah after half a shear, it doesn't work. Because half a shear was really nothing to get rid of. And therefore, we say, made a takana not to go to the mikvah. Now, it's a very strange thing. The Aruch HaNer points out, so now, a tevila only negates a full shear, but doesn't negate a half a shear. That's very strange. Turns out a half a shear is more chamer than a full shear. So I looked the Aruch Laner up inside, but at least the Masifta quotes in the bottom here from the Aruch Laner, he says that they didn't asa go to mikvah the entire day. The guy ate half a shear. We don't say it's asa to go to the mikvah the entire day. No, it's allowed to go. It's only asa to go betoch shear of achilas pras. Wait 10 minutes, and then go to the mikvah, and then your tevilah will be effective. That's the din. Because really, after kedei achilas pras, it doesn't mitzarif anymore. Right. Now, he doesn't explain why it's not. Why is a tevilah, why is it able to negate a full shear of tameh, but it can't negate a half a shear? And the chavar, the idea is that it's like min b'mino and min shlon b'enomino. Only if there's tension, is what to talk about, can you negate something. If there's no tension, you can't shoot a gun to... If there's no person attacking you, shooting a gun is worthless. So half a shear is really meaningless. There's nothing to get rid of. There's nothing to destroy. So only once it becomes something significant does a tefillah actually have a effect. That seems to be the understanding.
Because the tefillah is too much Rabbanan. So you can say that the same way they were metakin, the Rabbanan could metakin that, they can be metakin that...
They said it doesn't work in this way.
So it shouldn't be a takala. They said the same thing.
In terms of... okay. Okay, so then the Gemara quotes in the Brisa another interesting statement: Katani hetir la leubra leechel pachas mikashir. If a pregnant lady needs food, so we allow her to have. If they're only food that are tamei, we let her eat the food that are tamei. If it's less than a shear, mipnei sakana. If it's a dangerous, if it's dangerous for the lady, afilu tuva nami techa. She should eat whatever she wants. Why only half a kashir? Eat as much as she needs. So Amar Papa says we learn a special din here that hachi katani. That we allow her to eat half a shear multiple times because of the sakana, which means that let's say she has the option of eating a lot at one time or a little broken up, we prefer pachs mikashir. When it comes to the Yom Kippur, a person needs to break the fast. If possible, they could have pachs mikashir, less than a shear, less than a kakoseves. That's preferable than having a large meal in one shot, if possible. Now, if it's not possible, if of course it's dangerous and it's urgent, you do whatever you need to do. But if it's possible to have less than a kashir multiple times, that's better than having one large shear. That's the din we learn from here. Another point of the Braisa. Hit katani hitira lemaga, a woman who's the lemaga tamimes. She touched a body that's dead. So now she's tamimes herself. And now she's permitted lahanik as benah. She can nurse her child. And the din of the child, benah, tahor. The child is tahor. Now why is the child tahor? Doesn't the child become tame from touching the mother? Am I tahor? Kamen diyonak chalava. So once he, the child, or she, the baby, nursed from the mother, itami le mechalava. Doesn't the milk now, isn't that a mashke of a person who's tame? And the mashke of a person who's tame has the ability to mimitame the child. So the Gemara says, v'chi tamer lo is kasher. Maybe it's a situation where the child was never his kasher. The way it works is that that something can only be mekabel tuma if it's first hukshel tuma, has to be first prepared to become tame. So maybe this case is where the child wasn't prepared to become tame. What does it mean, miskashi? We need one of the shivim ashkim, one of the seven mashkim, to prepare something to make hukshir lutuma. So one of the seven mashkim is water, there's blood, there's dam v'shacha, right? There's blood, honey, water, oil, wine, milk, and so on. So niskasher betipa miluchlech piadat. No, perhaps there was milk there from the mother before the child was nursing. There already was milk beforehand that was there, and that milk was first machshir the child, and then after the child's machshir, when the child begins to drink the milk, now the child is going to become tame. So that's how the child should be tame. How could the Braisa say that the child is tahor? So Amar of Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravua, Sheyonak B'tkif Achas, where the child nursed in one moment, meaning there was no chalav on the outside just there. There's no milk that first touched the child. Lohi Niach Tipa Meluch Lechas Al Piedad. The child just nursed everything seamlessly, and there's no milk that was ever outside the body that touched the child first, and there's no hukshir at all to speak of. And that's why the child is tahor. So Rabba says, I've got two problems with this suggestion. Amar Rabba. Rabba says, number one is shtei tshuvas badavar. Two questions. Chada, number one is, the kachazina lapuma dinuka, we all see the face, the lip of the child, like the milk mustache, right? Demali chav, it's full of milk. Meaning there clearly is milk on the outside. It's impossible to say that no milk left from nursing, that all got right from the mother into the child. Impossible to say that. So there clearly was milk that was present that was machshir the child. That's number one. And oh, moreover, makom chalav mayanu. The milk itself, the area is called the mayan. Now a mayan, if something is a spring of tuma, the din is you don't even need a hechsher. We'll see in a moment a zav, a man who has tuma, if certain mayanos, certain bodily fluids are metame people, even if there is no hechsher. So chalav is considered a mayan, it's considered a spring of tuma that flows from the mother. So even if it isn't hechsher, it should still be metame the child. As we know, dikatani, how do you know that chalav, that milk, is considered a mayan, a spring that's metame regardless? Chalav isha metame, bein l'ratzon, shalol l'ratzon. The milk of a mother, or milk of a woman, is metame whether or not the child wants it or not. I mean, normally, something, when it comes to food that requires hukshir, has to be susceptible to tumah, that depends on ratzon. It says in the pasuk, ki yutan, only if you want the water to first makshir the food, and then it's matame. But if you don't want the water to touch the food first, then the food isn't mukshir. But that's only true if that which is being matame is tumas mashkin. But if the tumas mayan, if it's a spring, it's bodily fluids, we don't care ratzon shel ratzon. So the Braisa clearly says that chalav an ish is metame bein l'ratzon bein l'shel ratzon. And when it comes to the chalav of a behema, milk of a cow or another animal, is ein metame el l'ratzon, because milk of an animal is only mashke. But the milk of a mother is a mayan, so you don't need ratzon, so you don't need hochshir at all. So my lav shel l'ratzon was shel l'ratzon mean shel nichale, that even if the child doesn't want the milk, still, it's katani mitame, and therefore it's a mayan, and you don't need a hochshir. So how could you suggest that this child, this tinok, is not Tame. If the child nurses from the mother, it should become tame, either because it's huchshir, because the milk that's clearly on the mouth of the child, or you don't even need a huchshir, because the milk is a mayon, it's matame, regardless of what it touches. So what's the reason why this child nursing from the mother, whose mother is tame meis, why is the child tahar? So Ela Amar Rav, Rav explains, I'll tell you why. Hainu tame, the reason is, the benot tahar, the reason why the child is tahar, is because the safek, yanak, kishir, safek, we don't know how much the child nursed. It's impossible to know. Now, mothers have a certain instinct that they get used to the child when the child's full, or the child will communicate in some way. But in the end of the day, it's really impossible to know how much was nursed. Vim tim salomar yonak, and even if you want to say it did nurse a shear that's going to make the child tame, safek yinako b'achiyas pras, safek yinako b'yosem ichtei achiyas pras. You don't know how long it took to have that shear, and since it's a svek sveka, we could assume it's going to be tahor. Now, the truth is, it's a bit challenging. I'm just thinking about this question right now, that the fact that it's a svek sveka really shouldn't help in the world of tumah. I looked in the bottom, and there's no note on this. But
this
the din
is... This is the raisa also,
because this is tumas meis. Tumas it could be the raisa. If it's a mayon, it's the raisa. If it's a mashke, it's only the rabbanon, that might be part of it. But we have a din, even though a svek sveka by yisurim is mutter, by tumah, we have tumah b'rishis harabim, safek is tahor b'rishis harabim, even svek sveka is certainly tahor. In Rishis HaYachid, a Safek and even a Svek Sveka is Tameh in Rishis HaYachid. And this, of course, is seemingly in Rishis HaYachid. So I'm not sure how to answer that question. I'm going to take a quick look in the back because I didn't think of this when I prepared. You have something there, yeah? It might depend on whether it's talking about the Mashke of the mother or if it's Mayan, which the Gemara itself is going to just explain. That might be the answer. It might only be Dirabanan, in which case that would solve the answer. I'm just looking quickly here. No, nothing. No, just a question about what bracha you say after having tea. Okay. Okay, let's go by it. The Gemara says, fine. Ularava, makam chalav mayan hu, v'lo tzarech hechshir. So now above we proved that the chalav v'isha is like a mayan, it's like a spring, it's a body fluid that are matame, and it doesn't require any hechshir of that which it's touching. Is that really true? V'hatran, the mission Meseches Kelim tells us, ha'isha shenotaf chalav medadehan v'daf lavir tanur, if milk from a woman who's nida, not mace, but this is a case of nida. So if chalav of milk of a woman nida falls into the airspace of a tanner, the tanner is tame, it's tame, and all the food that's inside is tame as well. The kashalan, there the Gemara, they ask on this Mishnah, but my is kashir. The food that's in the oven, what was machshir? Where was the liquid that was machshir from the chalav that fell into it? So Amar Rabbi Yochanan says, b'tipa miluch leches apiadad. Because there was also, you know, the first drop of milk was machshir the food, and then the additional milk was metame the food. V'chi tame, if you're going to say Rava lo savar like Rabbi Yochanan, that Rava doesn't hold the Rabbi Yochanan, meaning he doesn't need a hechshir. He's completely comfortable with the mission in the face value, which means when milk falls into the oven, the entire oven and all the food becomes tame, even though there's no hechshir. If you're going to suggest that, but v'hatanya, there's another brisa that clearly says that chalav isha is not a mayan, it's not a spring. Nimtzei sata omer, the brisa says tisha mashkin bezov, the nine different bodily fluids that come from an adam who's a zav. Hazeya, the sweat, halecha srucha, I don't know, different type of pus maybe. I'm not sure they define this. Or re'eh, waste, or all tahorim miklum. These are bodily fluids that don't have any impact in regards to tumah. Dimas eno, tears, a tear duct, vidama gavaso, blood of a cut, a wound, chalav isha, milk of a woman, metamin tumas mashkin, the tame, the din of a mashkin, not a din of a mayon, a din of mashke, and berevis, you need a shear of a revis to have chalav isha metame, as opposed to rukos, saliva, zova, which is the emissions themselves, meme raglav, urine, metamin tuma chamur, these are more severe in terms of the tuma, the cholsha, even a cholsha, because the last few mentioned are mayon, they're metame, even shalbaratzon, they're metame, even a kol shu. But we see clearly that if you're going to say that chalav in isha, makam chalav is a mayan, is considered mayan, so then we should say chalav nami metami tuma chamura b'kol shu. It should be in the last list, the last grouping of being metami in a kol shu, kizova v'roko, and not a shiva reviz. Elishmami, now we learn from here, the makam chalav isha, la mayan, it's not a mayan. So we're challenging Rav's assumption earlier. So the Gemara says, Ihach, if that's the case, if you're going to tell me that the Chal of Isha is not a Maya and it's simply a Mashke, so then, Kasha Hamasnisa, we have the problem of the Braisa, which said, Metame Bein Leratzim Bein Shilaratzim. If it's a mayon, chalav of a mayon, rather not a chalav, that which is a bodily fluid of a mayon, like roken zav, that's metame, bein beratzon, bein mishalaratzon. Whether or not I want to go there or not, it's metame, anything that's in its way, in its path. So then, chalavisha, it's not a mayon, it shouldn't be metame, that which is shilaratzon, only that which is beratzon. To which the Gemara answers, Mi Savras, who says when the Brayta says Shlo Ratzon Damer, where he says Dilo Nichle, it's not where the child says, I don't want to drink milk. He didn't say this explicitly. Lo, it's a case, my Shlo Ratzon Damri, it's Didaita, Ditina, Kreva, Lagabi Chalav. It's an assumption. Meaning the case is where he didn't say a thing, and we assume if the child says he wants to nurse, and even the child doesn't say he wants to nurse, he just remains silent, we assume that he wants to. That's shalal rata means even when the stam das, it's he wants it. But einachanami aval amar lo nichle, if the child clearly said, I don't want to nurse, then einachanami, which should say tahor, because chav isha is not a mayon, chav isha at worst is only mashke, which means it needs raton to be matamate, and also needs a shear of a revius. And that's what's going on here.
Here it says on the topic before that it is me the rabbana.
Okay, fine. And that would... That must be because you assume it's a mashke. If it's a mayon, I think we have to assume it's a deraisa. I think so. And therefore, right. Okay. So then the Gemara says, Achal Ochlin Tamei. And so let's say the Mishnah had said earlier, person eats food that makes him Tamei. He drinks wine and goes to the base of Migdash. And then it says, he waits a Teachilas Pras. So the Gemara says, Laman Lishi, why do you have to wait at all? The Mishnah sounds like you eat a little bit. The Katani Shah, it sounds like he waits. What's the waiting period? Well, it's a strange lashem. So the Gemara says, no, Amar Rav Yehuda, this is what the Mishnah means. Hachi Katani. Achal Ochlin Tamein, Vishasa Mashkin Tamein. He eats food that makes him Tamei. He drinks that make him Tamei. Vishasa Revius Yaini, or he drinks a shear of Revius of wine. Vishabach Hilasan, Ubishiasan Kedechias Pras. And he eats that over a period of Kedechias Pras. Not that he waits in the base of Mikdash. He rather, it's during the Torah, the waiting period of while eating and drinking. Then he's Nichnas LeMikdash, he's Chayev. Now they have to wait in the base of Mikdash. It's so you go into the base of Mikdash, the Knesset alone, a person's Chayev for being drunk. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Rabbi Elazar said in the Mishnah, if the guy while drinking Revius interrupts it, he pauses, or he dilutes it even slightly, then it no longer has a shiver of Revius Yayin, and he would be potter for entering into the base of Mikdash under such an influence. So Tanya Rabbanan, the Baraita says, based on the Pasuk, it says, this after Nadav Avihu died in entering the Kodesh Kodashim, and right afterwards the Torah gives the edict of not drinking wine or anything alcoholic, sheikhar, beer, and when entering into the base of Mikdash, one who does so, the death, it's Misa. So Yachal, one might think, Afil Kolshu. One might think even drinking a little bit of wine, a little bit of sheikhar, Afil Migito, even if it's wine that's brand new and not as fermented, not as alcoholic, that might also, or that grape juice, that might also be subject to this din. Tamalomar v'sheichar. What is the word yain v'sheichar mean? Sheichar means ein aser ela kedei l'shaker, only if a person drinks an amount that causes a, that has an alcoholic effect, which is either a full sheer of wine, not a kolshu, a revius, or wine that's already fermented, not grape juice. V'kama kedei l'shaker, how much does it take to make a person drunk? Revius yain ben arba mion, a revius yain that has aged over 40 days, anything less than that would not be considered mishakir. Imkein ma tamalomer yain. So if it's all about sheikha, all about that which makes a person drunk, so why does the pasuk mention yain? Lomer l'cha to tell me that muzarna lava kolshu u'muzarna lava migito. That even though there may not be an iser misa of entering into the Beis HaMikdash while drinking a yain kolshu or grape juice, there would still be an iser involved. There's a lav muzar, but there's no misa. So yayin, meaning yayin, which is simply even a kolshu or grape juice, that's still anzhara. If it's yayin v'sheich, if it's a yayin that is alcoholic, that is makes a person drunk, that would be a step up, that would be a chiyah misa. Comes along Rabbi Yehuda, the Brayis Rabbi Yehuda Omer, yayin ein li ela yayin. I only know that wine, a person when drinks wine, he's chai misa. Shar Meshakrin Minayin. How do I know other beverages that will make a person drunk is also subject to the Isser? Tamalomer Vishechar Imkein Seshechar. Other types of things. Meaning, while the Tanakhama thinks only Yayin, and Vishechar is just to qualify which type of wine, Rabbi Yehuda says no. Wine and scotch and beer, anything else that makes a person drunk, would be also subject to the Isser. Imkein Matamalomer Yayin. So why does it say Yayin? The Pasuk should just say Shechar, and I would understand Yayin is also subject to the Isser. So the Gemara says, because al yain b'misa v'al shar mashkin b'azara. Because only when drinking wine and entering the Beis HaMikdash does it lead to misa. Other mishach and other alcoholic beverages will only be in azhara. And then Rabbi Eliezer Omer, yain al tesht v'sheichar al tesht, what does that mean? Al tishte kederch shechrasa. A person shouldn't drink it in the way that a person drinks to become drunk. If you interrupt, if you pause, or you kosher, you dilute it even slightly, pater, that's not the derech of being drunk, and therefore those are the explanations why he allows you, why you're pater in those two circumstances. So, b'mai pligi, what is the nekudas hamachlokas between the different opinions here, between Tanakhama, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Elazar? So the Gemara explains, Tanakhama savar gamrinan sheicha sheicha minazir. The Tanakhama holds a gzer shavar from Nazir. It says sheichar by yain, by shtui yain in the Beis HaMikdash. It says sheichar by the case of a Nazir. And just like we have by the case of the Nazir, only yain, it's only usher for Nazir to drink wine. He's allowed to drink beer. But he only can't drink, only wine is usher. So too by the Beis HaMikdash, only wine is subject to the Isser. Rebbe Yehuda, lo yalav sheicha sheicha minazir, he doesn't learn the gzer shava, and therefore he's able to expand the Isser beyond yain. It could be even anything that's alcoholic. And Rabbi Elazar Savar, my Sheikhar, Midhud Meshaka. He also doesn't learn the Gzer Shava, but he understands that Sheikhar is coming to qualify Yain, not to expand the list, but to qualify Yain, only Yain that will generate a Shikr that's even either drunk within Revis or not diluted at all. So then the Gemara asks the question, Kaman Azla Hadatani, who is the author of the following Braisa, where it says, Achel Devela Kilos, a guy ate fig cakes, or Vishasa Devash Achav, he drank honey or milk, Venichas Lemikdash Vishimesh, he did the Avoda, Loke gets Malkos. Now, certainly figs, honey, and milk are not yain. So who's the one who thinks that going into the Beis HaMikdash does not apply only to wine, it applies to other things that make a person drunk or somewhat absent-minded? It must be Kaman Rebbe Yehuda. It's like the Shita of Rebbe Yehuda, who says yain v'sheicha, sheicha means a shar meshachrin as well. Happens to be some interesting... What?
Is there anything...
Yeah, these things have... Everything, to my understanding, all items...
Because makes you the... Tired, maybe.
Yeah, the challah makes you tired.
Right.
Everything has a certain amount of, I don't know, alcohol to it, but if it ferments, it has some effect in a person. I don't know exactly what that is. There is an interesting, there are two tososim, in Yuma, one in Yuma, one in Nazir, I think it is, in Shavuos. If you're medai carefully in tososim, they both say different reasons why it's usher to enter into the Beis HaMikdash while drunk. Now, the simple understanding is, because you might make a mistake. You're going to do the avoda, and since you're not completely 100% mentally there, you might make a mistake. While the other Tosa says, no, it's not because you're going to make a mistake. A guy who drinks a yayin revis is not going to be making mistakes with the shechita. He's going to know what he's doing. But you're not in the proper mental state. It's just not the kavodic way to enter into the makom mikdash. So those are two different reasons brought by Tosos.
That's
Rambam. Machshava. Yeah. Not about a Maisa mistake, but his thought process will be incorrect. If you look at the Ramban al Torah, I believe he writes both of them are relevant. It's a problem of making a mistake, and it's a problem of not having the proper clarity and the kavana necessary for doing the avoda. The Gemara now says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda bar Achotai, halacha k'Rabbi Elazar. We pass like Rabbi Elazar that it's only if you drink wine without any interruption and not diluted. The Kari Rav Allah Rabbi Elazar, and Rav referred to Rabbi Elazar as Tuvini de Chachmi, the greatest of the Chachamim. And that's how we pass it. Rav Acha de Hutzal, Rav Acha, who came from Hutzal, have a nidra Allah de Veso. He took a nidra on his wife that he shouldn't get hana from her. So also the Kami de Ravashi, he came in front of Ravashi to be matir the nidra. So Amr Leh, so he says, Zil ha'inava salach al-machar, you know, come back tomorrow. Go today, I can't give you the answer now. Tell me, come back to me tomorrow, I'll tell you the answer. The Rav lo moki amara, Allah miyom utavu lechaver. It was Yontif. And Rav wouldn't paskin a hara, a sak a halacha, or when he's drunk, even though he drank just a little bit. And Mishim Shechras, because he was drunk, or not really drunk, probably because he just drank a revius of yayin. So Amr Leh, ha'amar Rav halacha krabi Elazar, but didn't Rav say, halacha like krabi Elazar? Umar Hudaka Rami Beirmaya, and didn't he dilute the water? So since we passed on Rabbi Elazar, that if the wine is diluted, so you're allowed to paskin. So I assume that Rav didn't have the wine straight, he must have diluted it. So why didn't Rav give you the halacha, give you the psak? Amalei halokasha, that's not a problem. Hab revis, hab yos mechder revis. When we say that water diluting the wine undoes the iser, it's only true if you have exactly a revis of wine, you add a tiny bit of water, then that dilutes it, then that doesn't affect the ability to paskin. But when it comes to yos revis, you got a whole, a whole jug of wine, and you put a little bit of water, that water won't impact the wine, and that's where it would be aser. And just to be clear, I didn't mention this before, but the psukim themselves, the reason why I bring hara here is because the pasuk itself, when it says you can't enter into the Beis HaMikdash while drunk, that same pasuk says asur lahoros. You can't paskin shilas either when under the influence. That's the connection here. So then the Gemara says, let's finish off the Gemara before the Mishnah. The Gemara quotes a braisa, Tanur Rabbanan, and says, that a person should be able to distinguish between that which is kodesh, that which is not. Elu dam, this refers to dam and verachin when it comes to assessing values, erachin and hekdesh, charamim, hekdeshos. This we should remember from erachin, all these different concepts. When it says ben tamei le ben tawar, elu tumas ataros, ulaharos, to give a hara, zo hara, to give a psak halach of isser v'heter, eish kachukim, elu midrashos, to darshin, midrashim, asher dibe Hashem, zo halacha, to paskin a halacha, mimosh mesinai, b'yat moshe, it's a talmud that refers to the Gemara. So yachal afa misha, one might think a person shouldn't learn either. You can't paskin all those shilas when drunk. Maybe you shouldn't learn misha either when drunk. Tamalom or laharos, only when it comes to psak halacha, may one not paskin. As opposed to Mishnah, there's no halacha maisa in the Mishnayos, and therefore one may learn Mishnayos even though he might be drunk. Rabbi Yosef bar Yehuda Omer, Yachal Af Talmud, one might think a person shouldn't learn either when he's a drunk Talmud, Talmud Omer Lahoros, and simply don't paskin based on the Gemara directly, we paskin based on later Rishonim and Achronim, therefore one is allowed to learn even though he might be drunk. Kaman Azla Hadatani, who's the one who authored the following braisa? It says, Yotzav, as opposed to Sheretz Tamei V'Tzvardeya Tar. What you are allowed to paskin, even though you're drunk, you could say, we know a Sheretz is Tamei, and a Tzvardeya frog is Tar. We know the Shemot is Shratzim. There are 8 Shratzim that are Matame. A frog is not one of them. So, Shesuya Yayin Morin Behen Hara. A Shesuya Yayin may paskin this Psak. How could you do that? Didn't we say you can't paskin Shilas? Nema, let's say, this must be Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, who allows a person to learn Gemara. Even though there might be some psak halacha, he was more lenient in what you're allowed to do. Below Rabbanim, because the Rabbanim say anytime there's a psak halacha, you can't paskin, even though it's obvious you can't paskin if you're drunk. And the Gemara says no. Filu tamer Rabbanim, even Rabbanim could be the author of this brisa, because even though the Rabbanim said when you're drunk you can't paskin shaylas, shiny hacha, this case of a sheretz tamei, tzardei tower, it's different because dezil gahari bei rafu. This is what they say. They go query Rebbe. This is what everyone learned in first grade. Anything that's obvious to the Hamun Am is not called a psak. It's not called a hera, and therefore you can give the psak because it's not really a psak. It doesn't require much effort. It's ingrained in what we know from when we were little, and therefore Ian Rabban would allow you to give such a psak even under the influence. And Amar Rav says, in the end of the day, halacha, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Huda, who allows one to learn Gemara even while drunk. But didn't Rav say, well, he wouldn't darshan on Yantif? Mishum Shechas, because he was drunk. And why not? Why didn't he give a Gemara shir? And this way not paskin shilas. So Gemara says, Shiny Rav, the Ori Mara, when he would give Shia drashas, his drashas would be halachic. It wouldn't be lamdis, it would be halacha. And therefore, he refrained from giving a shir on Yantif after the Suda. Benekim de lo lora, so why don't you give a person up there who doesn't paskin shilas, person up who's giving a gata, who's giving a drasha, who's giving inspiration. So the Gemara says, Kohecha de yasa Rav, lo sagle blahara. Whenever Rav was there, he couldn't hold back of giving a psak, and therefore, since he was there, people were asking shilas during the shir, it was interactive, there'd always be a psak that would come from the discussions, and therefore they had no shirim after the suda on Yantiv afternoon. Okay, we'll stop here, and Mirza Hashem will pick up tomorrow.